RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman. First, the headlines. FFI 2016 committee holds the best villain nomination parade. Minister Darmin said Islamic finance to increase female economic participation. Indonesia and Australia reaffirmed commitment to security ties. Now the news in detail. Festival Film Indonesia FFI 2016 committee held film screening parade, which is nominated in the best film category of FFI 2016 from October 26 until 28, 2016. Five films which were screened are Aisha, Biarkan Kami Bersaudara, Atira, Rudy Habibi, Salawaku, and Surak Dari Praha. According to the head of FFI 2016 program division, Teresa Rahatian, FFI 2016 best film nomination parade is a moment for Indonesian people who have not watched the film to appreciate national films.
Parade ini adalah sebuah momentum untuk mengingatkan kembali.
This parade is a moment to remind the people of FFI hit event. So this is an opportunity for those who have not watched the best films. They can pick out why they are nominated as the best films. Now people trust the national film again. They realize that Indonesian film have a good quality and deserve appreciation too. To me, the biggest appreciation comes from people. Without people who love national films, Indonesian films will never be able to develop. Meanwhile, the head of the FFI 2016 committee, Lukman Sardi, said that the films which are nominated in the best film category carry strong themes about Indonesia in view of nationalism, natural beauty, and cultural readiness. Lukman Sardi also commented as follows.
Tentunya film-film yang muncul, film-film yang secara teknis sangat mumpuni gitu, secara tema juga sangat.
The nominated films are certainly technically advanced with interesting themes and description. The films carry strong themes about Indonesia. We see Atira, it is about Makassar, Salawaku about Seram Island, dan Aisha about Sumbawa. Then Rudy Habibi that talks about the nationalism of Indonesia third president Habibi. So it is a coincidence that judges select film with such issues. The judging process to determine the winners of FFI 2016 will end on October 30, 2016. The highest awarding event for Indonesian filmmakers and actors will be held on November 6, 2016 at Taman Ismail Marzuki Arts Center East Jakarta. Development of the country's Sharia finance industry will increase female participation in the economy as it is financing is conducive to women's economic empowerment. Economic Coordinating Minister Darmin Nasution said Indonesian fashion and halal cosmetics are among the well-performing industry financed by Islamic lenders. Most business people in the two industries are women. He noted during the Indonesian Sharia Economy Festival ISAP in Surabaya, Java, that women automatically dominate the female-related businesses aside from other male designers who also produce Sharia fashion lines. According to data from Bank Indonesia, Indonesia is one of the top five Islamic fashion industry in the world, with a total spending $12.7 billion annually. It is also the worldwide regarding the Sharia cosmetic pharmaceutical industry with an average spending $4.8 billion per year. Indonesian Foreign Minister Director General for Asia Pacific and Africa Desra Percaya said on Friday that Indonesia and Australia are set to keep strengthening the security ties they have developed in various areas. Desra represented Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi at the 2+2 dialogue attended by Foreign and Defense Minister of both countries to discuss strategic security talks in Bali. He said that the meeting took place at a time when relations between Indonesia and Australia continue to improve. Early Defense Minister Michelle Acudu said at the meeting that Australia and Indonesia could take advantage of their geographic proximity to jointly maintain security and promote the welfare of the people and the region. The Foreign Minister said several agreements were reached at the Bali meeting, including Australian support for Indonesian initiative to build a decolonization center in Central Bogor as part of the implementation of Memorandum of Understanding on International Terrorism Eradication Cooperation signed by the two countries at the same forum last year. Indonesian government has been making efforts to make West Papua province more accessible by constructing ports, a container terminal as well as an airport to develop the economy of the area. Head of the Communication and Informatics Service of West Papua, Bambang Heriawan Susanto, said on Friday that over the last 2 years, the government of Joko Widodo has constructed transportation infrastructure in West Papua, particularly for the air and sea transportation. President Joko Widodo launched a sea toll system in 2015 to develop Indonesian transportation system, including in eastern Indonesia. The government selected Sorong City as the first center for sea toll in eastern Indonesia. The government also built a container terminal and developed ports in Sorong to end the disparity in prices in rural areas. Indonesia's Trade Ministry has issued a license to import 122,800 feedlot cows in the third quarter of this year after feedlot businesses committed to import 20% at first of the total cattle imports. Director General of the Internal Trade of the Trade Minister, Oke Nurwan, told a press conference on Friday that the site should issue a permit in September, but the government issued it in October only after feedlot importers make a commitment to import 20% heifers when they import cows. The government has made it obligatory for importers to also include heifers while importing feedlot cattle. Indonesia needs to import 1 million cows this year to meet the domestic need for beef. Thus, Minister of Agriculture and Minister of Trade required importers to include heifers while importing feedlot cattle. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that the government aims to continue to support the development of Sharia economy related to instruments and institutions. She stated that the government hopes to continue to support the development of Sharia economy related to instruments and institutions. It will run when it is supported by the awareness and the ability to understand Sharia instrument. She added that the government also plans to establish Sharia Finance National Committee, KNKS, serving as a regulator to better coordinate the development of Sharia economy. Therefore, she calls on the people to support the development of Sharia based on asset as the underlying instrument of the economy. Such instruments include issuing sukuk or Islamic bond, Shakat or religious alms, and wakaf Islamic endowment. They can be used to develop Indonesia's infrastructure. The last item, Hun Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo had called on all elements, both the government and the people, to stay vigilant against the spread of radical teachings and terrorism that are still potential in Indonesia. He stated that radicalism and terrorism have to be watched. All religions can have such teachings. Therefore, Minister Cahyo remarked that to prevent those two threats, all functions of regional coordination forum or for Kipanda have to be implemented. He noted that the government would take steps so that those functions are supported by adequate budget. Furthermore, Minister said that the Attorney General Office can also provide legal education to the people, while Indonesian Unposis TNI Goes to the Villages program also can be implemented again. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Rere World Service Voice of Indonesia with press review. Various significant events that occurred this week are reviewed by some of the leading media in Jakarta and outlined in the press review. Let's begin with Compass newspaper. In its editorial on Friday, 28 October 2016, it writes on redefining Youth Pledge. Youth Pledge 88 years ago was a genuine breakthrough. It expressed the intention to build a modern nation state. Humanist Dr. Omar Khayyam said such statements had never been there before. The modern nation state means to grow and develop from a state of a stagnant tradition towards the growth of a new tradition. Therefore, the Youth Pledge Day celebrated on Friday, which fell on 28 October 2016, is the right verdict of history. Hence, every year it is celebrated. Not just to celebrate the meeting of various elements of the youth of various ethnicities and religions that existed in country in 1928, but more than that, it was to affirm the unity and integrity of Indonesia as a nation. The Youth Pledge then confirmed that they had only one nation, Indonesia, one homeland, Indonesia, and one language, Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language. According to Compass Daily, the birth of the Youth Pledge shows that the Indonesian youth at the time were able to see the future clearly. The youth not only drove the struggle for independence, but at the same time served to unify the nation as reformers. This condition, according to Compass, continues today, so the future of this nation continues to be on the hands of the youth. Turning to the Media Indonesia newspaper, in its editorial on Thursday, 27 October 2016, the paper writes, "Realizing enlightening election." On Friday last week, the regional head candidates got the green light to actively compete in the simultaneous local election. Campaign signs have been installed. Each pair of candidates, along with the winning team of each, shall obey the post sign if they do not want to be reprimanded by the election supervisory body in the context of the election. Campaigning is defined as the action of introducing the candidate pairs. However, it is not uncommon that it is also used to attack the opposite camp to undermine electoral support to the rival. According to Media Indonesia, attacks in the form of criticism of the performance without racial issues are legitimate as long as the criticism is based on facts and not allegations flavored with slander leading to a black campaign, which creates a democratic atmosphere that is not conducive. It will end up with fighting, chaos, until violent conflict. As a celebration of democracy, the election should be treated as a real celebration. Differences in choices are not a reason to cut out friendship, to break it up to pieces. As President Yusuf Kalla said that you may ask people to vote you, but don't force them. According to Media Indonesia, the success of the Indonesian election would bring the state into an increasingly mature democracy. Everybody was happy that the initial stage of the simultaneous election in 2017, which was to draw the serial number for its contestant 2 days ago, was generally conducted smoothly without any serious tension. This atmosphere is expected to continue to color the next stages. According to this newspaper, peaceful, democratic, dignified, and enlightening election must be realized. Well, listener, that was press review of our reward service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again in our daily program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened on October 29, 2023, when Turkey became a republic after the Kingdom of Ottoman was destroyed.
Thank you.
the occupation of Constantinople and Smyrna by the Allies after World War I encouraged establishment of the Turkish National Movement. On 18 September 1922, the occupation forces were defeated, and the Ankara-based Turkish regime claimed to be the legitimate government, which began to formalize the legal transition from the old to the Ottoman political system of the new republic. On 1st of November, the new parliamentary was established, and officially, the abolition of the Sultanate thus ending 623 years of Ottoman rule. On 29 October 1923, Turkish Nationalist Parliament declared the establishment of the Turkish Republic official successor state of the Ottoman Empire. The next event was in 1960 when Muhammad Ali won his first professional boxing match. Muhammad Ali was born as Cassius Marcellus Clay. His name followed his father, Cassius Marcellus Clay. Then Ali changed his name after joining the Nation of Islam, finally embraced Islam Sunni in 1975. His career began in 1960. Muhammad Ali won a gold medal in the light heavyweight division at the 1960 Summer Olympics in Rome, Italy. On 28 October 1960, Muhammad Ali won his first professional boxing match. He won a sixth round over Tony Hunsaker. The last event was about in 2005 when the 29 October 2005 the Delhi bombings occurred. The 29 October 2005 Delhi bombings occurred on 29 October 2005 in New Delhi, India, killing 62 people and injured at least 210 others in three explosions. The bombings came only 2 days before the important festival of Diwali, which is celebrated by Hindus, Sikhs, and Jains. The bombs were triggered in two markets in central and south Delhi and in the bus in the Govindpuri area in the south of the city. Indian investigators believe the Kashmir separatists or Islamic terrorist group Laskar-e-Taiba was behind the attacks. President Abdul Kalam condemned the blast in Delhi and sent condolences to the bereaved and other victims. Kalam appealed to the people to maintain calm and help the agencies in relief as he worked. Parts of India were moved to higher alert following the blast. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Air World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today it's on Indonesia and Japan boost SMEs cooperation. After Indonesia and Japan built cooperation in various fields such as infrastructure, now the two countries agreed to work together to develop small and medium enterprises sector. On Wednesday, 26 October in Jakarta, various business organizations representing the two countries formed a special desk called Indonesia-Japan Business Matching Support Desk. The job is to help small and medium enterprises or SMEs of both countries to increase exports and imports. This special desk is assigned to assist the small and medium businessmen from Indonesia and Japan in doing business. Two representatives of Indonesia businessmen will be in Japan and vice versa. They will be based on the employers' association in each country and are assigned to conduct a survey and provide input on the information on the business prospect in Indonesia and Japan. representatives of Indonesia to be derived from the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or Kadin Indonesia. Chairman of Kadin Indonesia, Ruslani Rusan, said that this process came into force in November. As a first step, the two sides will carry out classifications of companies that fall into the category of SMEs. Socialization for local entrepreneurs will also continue to be conducted by Kadin. According to Rusan Ruslani, this cooperation is very positive for Indonesia. With the rapid advancement of electronics and automotive industry in Japan, Indonesia small-medium enterprises entrepreneurs have the opportunity to supply component exporters. Meanwhile, the president director of Jakarta office, the Japan External Trade Organization, Daiki Kasugahara, said that the focus on the collaboration is to develop small and medium enterprises. Daiki Kasugahara explained that Japan will also send experts who are competent in their respective fields. He added that with good coordination, the collaboration will create opportunities for transfer of technology, market characteristics, and strategies. Citing a report in Business Indonesia Daily, Daiki Kasugahara said that small-medium enterprises in Indonesia need a strong support to grow, especially in terms of funding, not a few who seek financial help from Japanese companies. Therefore, he claimed to continue to seek the support of companies in his country. Meanwhile, chairman of the Japan Small-Medium Enterprises, Yasunobu Shiraishi, said that cooperation opportunities between Indonesia and Japan small-medium enterprises are still wide open in the automotive, electronic components, household appliance, food, and craft. Shiraishi also said that so far, Japanese entrepreneurs see China and Thailand as investment destinations. In the future, Indonesia could be of interest because there are thousands of Japan companies that wish to invest in Indonesia. That was Focus for today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Festival Film Indonesia FFI 2016 Committee held film screening parade, which is nominated the best film category of FFI 2016 from October 26 until 28, 2016. Development of the country's area finance industry will increase female participation in the economy as it is financially conducive to women's economic environment. Indonesian Foreign Minister Director General for Asia Pacific and Africa Desra Percaya said on Friday that Indonesia and Australia are set to keep strengthening the security ties they have developed in various areas. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that the government aims to continue to support the development of Syria economy related to instruments and institutions. Hun Affairs Minister Cahyokumolo had called on all elements, both the government and the people, to stay vigilant against the spread of radical teachings and terrorism that are still potential in Indonesia. Indonesian government has been making efforts to make West Papua province more accessible by constructing ports, a container terminal, as well as an airport to develop the economy of the area. Indonesian Trade Minister has issued a license to import 123,800 feedlot counts in the test matter of this year after feedlot businesses committed to import 20% heifers of the total cattle imports. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is nice to meet you again in our program Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary arts, the fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Jambi. Stay tuned. Listener, Jambi is one of provinces on Sumatra Island which has many beautiful tourism objects. One of them is in Kerinci Regency. In this regency, there is Kerinci Seblat National Park. At the park, there are various destinations such as hills and lakes. One of the lakes, which is well known as Hidden Pearl behind shady area of Kerinci Seblat National Park, is Kacho Lake. Listener, the name of Kacho Lake comes from local language meaning mirror. It is named Kacho Lake because the lake has clear blue water. This lake is located at an altitude of 1,289 above sea level. It is small lake and has only 30 times 30 meter wide. Even though small, this lake presents its own beauty among trees surrounding area. Besides the natural charm, this lake also has mystery. This lake can emit bright light at night, especially when full moon. Because of that, many tourists stay at night to see the uniqueness. Some researchers have tried to find the answer on the phenomenon, but the mystery remains unsolved because during a dive, the oxygen is always exhausted before managing to touch to the bottom of the lake. Listener, local people have a myth about the origin of Kacho Lake. In the past, there was a beautiful princess who would be proposed by many young men. No doubt, they gave precious stones to her father, King of Gagak, as a treasure proposal. Because of greed, King of Gagak received all of the youth's proposal. Due to being puzzled, the father buried his daughter along with the treasure of the proposal into the lake. Until now, then, local people still believe that precious stones are still stored at the bottom of the lake. Listener, to go to Kacho Lake, which is located at Kerinci Seblat National Park, Lempur Village, Gunung Raya Sub-District, takes around 2 hours from Sungai Penuh City, Jambi Province. Trip to this park is not easy and quite challenging. During the trip, there is no wide asphalt road or comfortable shelter. The tourist must walk to go down to the forest for 4 hours. Although quite heavy, the beauty of nature is presented as is the burden during the trip. Big trees, voice of birds, endemic of lush bamboos, and also clear river accompany the trip of tourists. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Kacho Lake. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Miscellany. Well, listener, the idea of mercury detector, so-called as MADS or Mercury Auto Detection System, is initiated by the students of University of Gajah Mada because of their concerns towards mercury content foods, medicines, and also cosmetics that circulate in the society. This device earned gold medals at ICANN 2016 Championship in Toronto, Canada. Well, today's miscellany will inform you about portable mercury detector by the students of University of Gajah Mada. Listener, nowadays there is a big mercury detector worth more than 200 million rupiahs, and it can only be used in laboratory. In addition, it cannot be used as mercury detectors to foods, medicines, and cosmetics that is very dangerous for health when there is impromptu inspection from related institutions. Therefore, 5 students from Engineering Faculty of University of Gajah Mada, namely Andi Aulia Prahardika, Albiru Kausal, Lutfi Adila, Imade Wiryawan, M. Tirta Inovan, invented portable mercury detector named Mercury Auto Detection System or MADS, worth approximately 1 million rupiah. By this device, both Indonesia and foreign countries can detect more mercury towards foods, medicines, and cosmetics without taking the sample to the laboratory, making the process simpler, faster law enforcement, lighter punishment, and avoiding collusion. One of the students, Andi Aulia, views that through MADS, his team says gold medal after eliminating more than 150 teams from 30 countries in the world at International Convention Innovation Competition or ICANN 2016 that took place in Toronto, Canada. ICANN 2016 is the first international event about new invention and innovation held in Canada. This event is organized by Toronto International Society of Innovation and Advanced Skills, or TISEAS, and fully supported by International Federation of Inventors Association, or IFIA. This event also covers the Best Invention and Innovation Award for the selected researchers. Listener, Andy also said that principally, this device has the same working as spectrophotometer. The sample projected by monochromatic light is absorbed by the color detector. Furthermore, the color result will be matched by the criteria of existing substances. In the future, MADS can detect not only mercury, but also other substances. Mercury Auto Detection System was created through work creativity of Students Creativity Program in 2015 and got a research fund from the Director General of Higher Education in 2016. Until now, MADS has developed twice and is now under process of the third development. listener, that was Miss Lenny for today. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me Andika in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Judika. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Bukan Rayuan Gomba, sung by Judika.
Duhai kekasih pujaan yang selalu di hati, yang selalu hadir dalam mimpiku. Di setiap hidupku, dengarkanlah, aku cinta, ingin aku
listener, you have just listened to the first song from Judika entitled Bukan Rayuan Gombal, which is taken from his first album entitled One, released in 2007. This song is a love expression and seduction of a man to a woman who is loved by him. This song became his debut in solo career. Judika gained his popularity through a singing competition, Indonesian Idol, in 2005. Before that, he joined in Antero Boys and has become a winner in International Music Festival in Romania. Rock genre with high range vocal and powerful becomes Judika's characteristic. Usually, he sings songs in a pop rock genre, but in 2014, Judika tried something new by adding R&B genre in a song, Sampai Kau Jadi Milikku. Listener, let's listen to Sampai Kau Jadi Milikku by Judika.
Sejak pertama bertemu, terbayang senyum indah di matamu. Kau berikan tatapan cinta untukku. Jatuh cinta, ku jatuh cinta. Rindu terasa mengancam dadaku saat kau selalu hadir di mimpiku. Hati jiwaku selalu memanggilmu, kasihku. Ku cinta kau, ku cinta kau. Hanya kamu di hatiku, takkan pernah kan terganti sampai kau jadi milikku. Yeah, yeah. Mengancam dadaku saat kau selalu hadir di mimpiku. Hati jiwaku selalu memanggilmu, kau kasihku. Ku cinta kau, ku cinta kau. Hanya kamu di hatiku, takkan pernah kan terganti sampai kau jadi milikku. Jiwa ini, raga ini memanggil namamu. Kau tahu sejak pertama bertemu, ku jatuh cinta.
That was Judika with his song entitled Sampai Kau Jadi Milikku. This song is composed by himself together with musicians from Sweden, Gustav Efremson and Iggy Strangdahl. And he recorded this song also in Sweden. This song tells about love in first sight. From song in R&B genre, in 2016 Judika sings again in ballad genre with the song entitled Jadi Aku Sebentar Saja. This song is arranged by Tohpati, who changed beautiful ballad song in orchestra into rockestra song, which is powerful. This song tells about broken heart, but universally a song entitled Jadi Aku Sebentar Saja has a positive message, namely to invite for no glare or jealously with what others have. Interestingly, This song is composed by Judika Holik, a mention for Judika fans, Sudrajat, who participated in writing song competition, which was held by Judika, with strict judging process. Finally, Judika chose this song. According to him, this song is simple but it has strong theme. According his plan, this song will be entered in his sixth album, which will be released in 2017. Are you curious with this song? Also, let's listen to Jadi Aku Sebentar Saja. And listener, thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Tinggalkanku sempat sia-siakan aku pergi jauh titipkan peri tak sedikit pun peduli seandainya kamu merasakan jadi sebentar saja takkan sanggup hatimu terima sakit ini begitu
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Kasihku berjanji selalu menemani saat kau bersedih, saat kau menangis.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Oh, kuatku
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.